Welcome to the Fundamentals of Digital Audio.
Welcome back to the Fundamentals of Digital Audio Podcast. I'm Jeff Hankerson, and thanks for joining me again today. If you don't mind, I think we'll hit the ground running and get going right away here. Last time, or on a recent episode, we talked about microphones, and we're going to move on and talk about the other pieces that you need to go ahead and make a good recording. And at a minimum, you're going to need a microphone preamp and an analog to digital converter. Those are the two pieces that you absolutely have to have. There are some additional things like voice processors that include hardware compressors and noise gate expanders, channel strips, mixers, external mic preamps. All these things are additional things that you might want to get, but at a minimum, you need to get that mic preamp and analog to digital converter. And we're going to bring in Rick Pepper here today. Rick's been on the show before, and he's a veteran audio engineer. He's going to help us out a little bit. And Rick, I wanted to go ahead and ask you, you know, why do we even need a mic preamp in the first place?
Microphones are put out a very minuscule signal strength. The audio signal, electrical signal coming off of them, I mean, it's purely passive. It's your voice, the sound waves from your voice hitting this little tiny diaphragm, and then going through a coil, and that generates a signal, and it's very minuscule. So you have to use a gain stage, something to make up the volume to get it up to the same level as, say, the output of a CD player or other piece of what we call line level equipment. So that is its main purpose, is to bring the signal strength up to kind of an operating level.
Now, we might have a mic preamp in our audio interface. It might be a standalone one. It might be in a channel strip, which usually has, you know, the mic preamp integrated with an equalizer and a compressor and noise gate. A voice processor is similar to channel strip, except for it doesn't usually have the EQ or the mic preamp. It usually just has the compressor and noise gate expander in it. Or it might be in a mixer. It might be standalone, like I said. Wow, you know, which way do we go? You know, how do we decide which one to choose?
I guess the first thing you have to do is decide what are the main functions or main things I'm going to record. Am I going to record a single voice, like for a podcast? Am I going to do some live recording, maybe of a school band or some kind of community band function? And that may even be more than just a stereo pair of mics. That might be several microphones mixed down to stereo. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what ultimately am I going to record?
And how many inputs you need too as well, right?
Right, because if you're talking multiple inputs, then you either need to consider, it quickly unravels from there. So I don't know if we want to go down one trail at a time with that, or how we want to do that.
Yeah, let's come back to that particular point of needing multiple, you know, more than two inputs, because if you need more than two, you're already talking about spending a lot more money.
Yeah. So if you're talking one, i.e. for a podcast, you're going to need your microphone, and then you can do a USB or FireWire interface that has a microphone preamp built into it. So there you've accomplished your microphone preamplification to get it up to line level, and then your analog to digital conversion to get it into your computer, assuming you're going to record directly on your computer.
Now, I know that people can get standalone mic preamps, and they can actually spend quite a bit of money on one, maybe even thousands of dollars. So, you know, is it really worth it to get a really expensive mic preamp, or it's just a way to kind of spend a little more of your money?
Well, there's definitely a certain amount of truth to the adage of you get what you pay for.
So now we have the mic preamp taken care of, and we want to talk about the analog to digital conversion. Usually that's going to be in an audio interface. I'll mention a couple here. You know, M-Audio has some pretty good ones, starting at $100, going up to $200 or so. You know, the M-Audio Fast Track and Fast Track Pro are a couple of them that are decent. Some folks will like the PreSonus products. I'm using a PreSonus Inspire i394. It's about $200 two-channel. It takes two mic preamps, and that's a pretty good way to go too. And a couple that aren't mentioned quite as often that are pretty decent buys are the ART tube, the ART mic preamp USB version. I'll have a link to that. Runs for $99, and they've got a reputation of making nice mic preamps. And then, you know, this unit includes one analog to digital converter of one channel for one microphone. And Tapco has a Link USB two-channel USB audio interface. So that's another one that you might look out for. That's about $200. It's couple of these have been reviewed and tested on the Pod Squad. You might want to go check that out. I'll have some links to those as well. But those are four to look at as you're starting out. Now, they're not absolute recommendations. They're just places to start looking. I do use the PreSonus Inspire. I've been pretty happy with it so far, and would have no trouble recommending that to people. Rick, what are you using for analog to digital conversion here tonight?
Well, I'm kind of doing things the long way, only because it's what I have, because I have a Marantz PMD-670 flash-based digital recorder that I use with my pair of Shure SM-81 condenser mics. I do a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot of, but I do the recording for a local high school here for their events, and then a marching band that's done during the summer, the Lancers. So for that purpose, I have the portable digital recorder and the pair of mics. So for doing this podcast, I'm just taking one of my mics, feeding it through my DBX 286 mic preamp or channel strip, and then quarter inch out of that into my PMD 670. Then I'll take the compact flash card from there, put it in a reader, drag the files onto my Mac, and away I go.
Okay, let's say we got to go beyond just two channels. We've been talking about units so far that have just two channels. So say we need to record four people, a panel or maybe some musicians, you know, and this might be a classic time to go for a mixer where it has four mic preamps and it can be sent out via stereo. Or the other option is a multi-channel, usually FireWire audio interface that can take, you know, anywhere from four to eight or more inserts. PreSonus is also very popular there. Another one is the Alesis FireWire mixer that's a little less expensive than the PreSonus unit. And, you know, you get eight mic preamps in that thing, too, and you can send them all to individual channels. So, you know, what's better? You know, do I want to have a mixer where I can send just two stereo channels? You know, a mixer takes multiple channels, mix them into just two, or possibly even one, or am I better off with the FireWire interface?
So the cheap solution to do that would be, but still give you flexibility in the end, would be a small mixer, and you have to watch it on the smaller mixers because a lot of times they'll have two channels that have mic preamps and another 4, 6, 8, 12 that don't. So you have to bear that in mind. But that's probably the simplest kill in that scenario is a mixer that has enough mic preamps for the number of mics you're going to use, channels that have mic preamps, I should say, and then a creative use of subgroups or AUGs outs or both, which are routing buses on the mixer to output four discrete analog signals. Let's say we're working with four people. Output four discrete analog signals and then take those into four quarter-inch jacks that go into four channels of your, it's going to be FireWire, input device. And now you've got most of those mixers that have, you know, most of them today that have that many mic pre's on them anymore all have high-pass filters on them, so you can punch those all on for each mic. They have a basic EQ, typically a bass, a low, high, and then what's called a sweepable or semi-parametric mid. But that's going to give you the ultimate control in the end. So I think the answer to that question is, do you perceive or foresee that you'll have issues with people that are not talking causing extra noise and you have to be able to mute them individually? And then the other thing is, how high quality does this need to be? If it needs to be just something basic, down and dirty, get it done, then you could get away with just mixing down to stereo or even mono and shooting it all out one output to your A to D converter.
Now, beyond the standard mic preamp and audio to analog to digital converter or AD converter, and we might need to think about a voice processor with a compressor and noise gate expander. We might think about a channel strip that has those things as well, and also the mic preamp built in with some EQ in there as well. You know, when might we want to add those to our audio hardware as well?
Depending upon how much processing you want to do in software, which there are pros and cons to doing more or less of it in hardware. The main thing you're going to gain from redoing it with a hardware preamp, I'm using a DBX 286, which is, I guess you could call, a channel strip. It's a mic preamp, has a high pass filter built in it, which is absolute number one recommendation for anything you're doing speech, because right there you're going to gain headroom by not passing through low end that's not going to be usable anyway. Has phantom power, so you can power a condenser microphone, which is what I'm using. Has a compressor, a gate, a de-esser, and it has a low and a high shaping. They don't call it equalization. There's like a high detail and low frequency detail. So right there, especially if you're recording with GarageBand where you're only recording 16-bit, you want to make a lot more out of the signal you're putting into your digital capture device. The main thing you pick up in a hardware channel strip like this DBX mainly comes into play. You're talking 16-bit recording. You don't have a lot of bits to throw away, because again, for every 6 dB of level that you have to increase in software, you have thrown away 1 bit worth of resolution. So to me, to get some compression on it, dump the low end with a high pass filter, because the microphone will pick up so much more than what's really useful, especially for a podcast. That's to burning up headroom. Use a little bit of compression. So now you've squished it down into a narrow window, kind of put a ceiling on things so that you can run it hotter into your record device. Now you're going to get a lot more mileage out of your 16 bits that you're recording with. You may only need to bump the gain up one time, a total of 6 dB or so with all of your additional processing you might do, and now you've only lost a bit. But if you don't have any limiting in front of your record device, and your hottest level is, you know, -4, and that's with no compression, well, you've almost lost 1 bit right there, because you're going to want to normalize it up to 0. And then if you put any compression on it, which I highly recommend, you're probably going to burn another bit or two up right there. Now on speech, and you're going to crunch it down to 128K stereo MP3, probably not going to hear a lot of difference. But if you're doing anything beyond that, you're definitely going to pay for it.
Now I want to ask you a different question. I noticed that dynamic microphones tend to need a really good preamp. They need a lot of gain. You know, what's going on there? What's happening there?
Well, the nature of a condenser microphone is there's voltage applied to it. There's actually active circuitry inside the condenser mic. So it's actually like a tiny amount of preamplification going on. So it's going to have a hotter signal to start with. So that's the main thing. In dynamic mics, though, there's some classic mics like the SM7, which is a broadcast mic, the NPR station up in the city, or St. John's University that I did some work with, had some of those, and they are cold, colder than cold, and they take a lot of preamplification to get them up. But yeah, that's an area where if you have that mic for whatever reason, a quiet preamp is an even bigger deal, because that one stage, that one knob is doing all the work, and so it better be quiet.
Well, Rick, thanks for joining us tonight. Is there anything else we've missed?
Oh, I'm sure we missed plenty, but I don't have anything further to add.
And where can people find out more about you, Rick?
RickPepper.com.
And then just to wrap up here tonight, I just wanted to say that I think getting a good microphone to start out with, and then adding an audio interface to do the mic preamp and analog to digital conversion, is a great way to start out. You can do your post-processing in software. And remember, we're not talking about USB microphones this time. USB microphones can be great in the right situation when there's just one person and that's all you're ever going to need. But since they're not really very scalable and they don't let you add the external voice processing units, we're going to assume that at least the majority of you aren't going to want to go in that direction. Now, not that you can't. It's just, you know, you're just not going to be able to build up with it and add additional pieces later on. And then as you get more familiar with things and you want to speed things up a little bit, you can consider doing the voice processing in a hardware unit and just add that later. Perhaps with a channel strip or a voice processor, external mic preamp, either in a chain or a unit that has it all built into one. So that's going to do it for this time. We'll see you soon on another episode of The Fundamentals of Digital Audio.
Thanks for listening to The Fundamentals of Digital Audio podcast. If you have questions or comments, send them to digiaudio.podcast@gmail.com. That's digiaudio.podcast@gmail.com. MP3 voice comments are welcome. Be sure to visit digiaudio.blogspot.com for show notes and links to great articles on audio production. We'll see you next time on The Fundamentals of Digital Audio.